Okachile Kwas. I'm a clinical psychologist. I work at the African Network for the Prevention and Protection Against Child Abuse and Neglect. I'm also a child rights advocate, the center manager for the International Federation for Psychotherapy. African Network for the Prevention and Protection Against Child Abuse and Neglect was founded in 1986. Our focus is on providing children access to their rights. Their rights include rights to survival, protection, development, and participation. And all these are geared towards ensuring that the child is a full-fledged individual that is fully developed without major traumatic experiences. So what we do at the center is to provide children who have experienced various forms of abuse access to mental health services, as well as other protection services that will ensure that these children are safe. Yeah, so you know the mental health bill is basically a modernized form of providing access to mental health services for people who need it in the smallest and the simplest of forms. It goes a long way to reduce the stigma that people have around mental health. It will help to ensure that people do not stigmatize those individuals that have mental health challenges. It has focused on ensuring that people have better access to mental health care and makes government responsible in terms of providing mental health access. Then most importantly is to address the issues of human rights abuse in providing mental health care. So, you know, it's been a major issue for people to realize that mental illness is like every other form of poor health. Providing a law that enables people to have improved protection both in the workplace and in society would improve on the work that we do. People wouldn't be coming to us after they have suffered for a long time. It would also improve reduction in stigma and make people more open to access mental health services. Because the Lunacy Act is basically dated and doesn't provide for respect and addresses current challenges relating to mental health care, this law would definitely create more enabling environment to be able to ensure that more people will have access to mental health care, knowing that there's a law protecting them from human rights abuses, which is one of the major reasons why the bill was presented to the National Assembly. You know, recently in Nigeria, there's been a shrinking of the civil society space. There's been a number of clampdown on civil society activities. So generally, in terms of the climate for civil society activities, it's been a challenge. However, the other problem is, you know, mental health is a non-communicable disease. The funding for non-communicable disease is quite poor when you compare it with other forms of illnesses like HIV and AIDS or tuberculosis, which have more attention and more funding. But overall, the funding space is quite limited. And apart from few global funding, for example, Grand Challenges of Canada recently, DFID, that I know, there aren't a number of opportunities or funding directly focused at providing mental health services for those who are in need of it. In 2015, we published an article called Brain Fog: New Perspectives. Brain fog is a mental health condition that was first diagnosed by Raymond Prince in Nigeria and became a diagnostic criteria. But after DSM, that's Diagnostic Statistical Manual of DSM-4-TR, brain fog was removed from the categories of mental illness. It was no longer referred to as like a diagnostic criteria. But my senior colleague and I, Professor Peter Bibo, wrote an article on the new perspectives about brain fog. And we were saying that brain fog is a form of mental illness that goes in line with, like, seems like in some cases, depending on the personality of the individual, it's like anxiety. In other situations, it can come in form of a depression. But what is most important is that the clinician understands the dynamics of our culture to be able to diagnose this condition correctly. And we identified that there are issues of misdiagnosis that usually occur because people aren't very culturally aware about the cultural dispositions that makes the African different from the Western person. So we wrote this article, and we also said that brain fog usually was seen among students, but we also found out that brain fog could also occur outside of the student community. This was quite unique because that our article was described as one of the articles that provided a clinical presentation of brain fog after 50 years of its initial diagnosis in Nigeria. So the factors that cause mental health globally is the same main factors that cause mental health in Nigeria. We know socioeconomic factors is one. When you just look at the Engels biopsychosocial model of mental illness, you know that there is the biological, there's the social, and there is the psychological factors. So if we look at the overall unique Nigerian factor, for example, you know that recently, in the last few years, insecurity has been a major form of theme in the Nigerian environment. When you talk about the insurgency, the issue of banditry, the issue of robbery, kidnapping, this has been a major factor that makes people at unrest. And when you look at the socioeconomic situation, especially for young persons who do not have access to healthcare, nor social protection, or any other safety net, you'd realize that the young people are also uniquely affected by mental health. And recently, with the shrinking of job opportunities, these are unique factors that are causing mental health impact in Nigeria. There is a large chunk of children who have been abused. In fact, the National Violence Against Children Survey of 2015 is estimating that about 60% of our children have experienced violence. And you know, violence has a direct impact on the mental health. Also for women, you know that women who have experienced domestic violence, in fact, studies are showing that about 35% of our women have experienced domestic violence. And sadly, less than 55% of them have access to supportive services. So these are some of the factors that lead to mental health challenges in Nigeria. There's this song that says, celebrate, be happy all the time. I know. So basically, it's about being positive. Positivity is very important. We have to look out intentionally to things that make us look towards life with positivity. Also, you know that it is not what happens that matters. It is how you look at it that makes a difference. We must be able to look at critically about positive things that happen around us and be very intentional about identifying the positive things that happen to us. People in very everyday conversations say, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is the present. We need to be able to realize that what we have today is hope. Anytime you have hope, hope gives you that ability to realize that tomorrow could be better. That's what is very critical about gaining resilience in terms of looking at things not just in a damning way, but thinking about the positive things that could happen. I often say to people, in the light of being positive, everything comes to pass. The difficulty we're experiencing today will come to pass. Good things are, better days are ahead. It's important to realize that there is a lot of positivity happening, but we need to be intentional in capturing them, in identifying them, and in telling ourselves. In fact, people have talked about positive affirmations. When you tell yourself, I am worth it, I am good, I am blessed, I am favored, all those kind of positive things that people can say to themselves is very critical. I think also, basically, two things that people can do can improve mental health. For example, looking out for someone. When you see someone is not looking the way they used to look, they are looking down, depressed, unkempt, then some of these people may actually be going through one mental health condition or the other, or domestic violence. You can actually extend a helping hand, ask them, how are you doing? What's the situation and all that? We can actually improve people's well-being by just being extra caring. Not only that, we have to also remember that our communal lifestyle is always and has always been a very good one. Even the Western world is learning about communal approaches to social well-being and togetherness. So we need to be able to look at how things are happening with us by looking at communal lifestyle and bringing out all those communal things that make us find ways of surviving. Those are very critical points that I would say to Nigerians.